The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, the fellow servant begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you recall, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the link between Christianity and suffering, the link between discipleship and the cross. You know the cross for many, particularly non-Christians, is perhaps the greatest obstacle to accepting Christianity. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's what we call the scandal of the cross. Today, we have probably something that is a close second in terms of difficulty, and that is the necessity, the non-negotiable requirement to forgive others, even those who have hurt us greatly. It's a tough message, but an important message. Recall last week, we heard Jesus give instructions about what to do when your brother or when someone sins against you. So now Peter asks, how often do I have to do that? How many times do I have to forgive someone? Do I have to forgive as many as 7 times? Well, Peter considers himself to be quite magnanimous and very, very merciful in his willingness to forgive up to 7 times. But Jesus takes it much, much further. He says, I say to you, not just 7 times, but 77 times. In other words, you Peter over and over and over again without keeping count. Your mercy must be like God's mercy, an extravagant mercy, a mercy that forgives over and over, a shockingly gratuitous mercy. When was the last time that you went to confession and the priest said, wait a minute, how many times have you been to confession so far in your lifetime? You tell him and he goes, oh, sorry, you've used up your quota of forgiveness. You never will hear something like that. God's mercy is boundless. And to illustrate that exorbitant mercy, Jesus gives us a parable. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Let's take a look at it. There is a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. Now, we heard from the lectionary here that the servant owed the king a huge amount. That's a very loose translation. The original text tells us, it says the servant owed the king 10,000 talents. A talent was a gold coin equivalent to 6,000 denarii. And a denarius was roughly a day's wage. So one talent would equal 6,000 days' wages. That's over 16 years of earnings. And the servant owed 10,000 talents. That's not just a huge amount. That's an inconceivable amount of money. If this servant earned one denarius per day, it would take him 60 million years of wages, days, 60 million days of wages, or over 160,000 years of work to pay off the debt. The point of the whole thing is that he is never going to be able to pay off that debt. People today run up credit card debt, right? But nothing like this. What is it? He pleads with the king. He says, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Again, this man is a servant. It's absurd to think that he would ever be able to pay the debt he owed. He's asking for the But what does the king do? The king forgives the debt. We read, moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. Wow! He wipes the slate clean and forgives that entire debt, the one that could never be repaid. Now, what does the servant do who has been forgiven this impossible amount? He meets another servant who owes him 100 denarii. So 100 days' wages. About a third of a year, right? It's not an inconsequential amount of money, but it's certainly not an impossible debt to repay. That first servant owed 160,000 years of wages. Yet the other servant only owes 100 days' worth. And does that servant forgive him? No. To the contrary, it says he seized him and started to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, this fellow servant begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. What that servant does is the same thing that the first one did. He fell to his knees and begged for mercy. But this first servant refuses him. Not only does he refuse him, he has him put in debtor's prison until he pays off the debt. Back then, if you get thrown into debtor's prison, and you'd have to stay there until someone, friends or family, would come along and cough up enough money to get you out, then you would be released. Well, you can imagine how these other servants felt when they saw what happened here, how they reacted. They go and they tell the master, and the master summons the first guy back and says to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had
pity on your fellow servant like I have pity on you? You know the contrast, right? The master's mercy. Now, in the parable, of course, you get the master is God, right? The master's mercy was exorbitant, extravagant, unprecedented. But this servant's mercy was non-existent. He had non-existent. He had no forgiveness in his heart toward his fellow servant for that much, much slaughtered debt. So the master has him thrown into prison until he can pay off that debt, which, of course, would be never. Okay, now, here comes the punchline. The whole point of this parable is in the very last line. It's what makes this parable one of the most terrifying of all of the parables of Jesus. Are you ready? Jesus says what? So also will my heavenly Father do to every one of you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. Hear that? So also will my heavenly Father do to every one of you if you don't forgive from your heart. Jesus is not talking about economics or a monetary debt here. In first century Judaism, perhaps you're aware that sin was understood as a debt. Right? We pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But I think you've heard there are some people who pray that prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. These are, I think, the most dangerous words in the Bible. Because what you are saying is, Lord, I want you to forgive me as much as I forgive others. The message here is clear. Unless we show mercy to others, we ourselves will not be shown mercy. Gulp. So the answer, again, to Peter's question is, how often must I forgive? You must forgive over and over and over and over again. And no matter how many times you forgive, you will never come close to the forgiveness of God, who forgives all of the sins for those who repent and come to Him and beg for mercy. That's a tough message. That's a tough message for sure. And let's get real here. I can't tell you, right here in this parish and elsewhere, how many times people have come to me and have said, I could never forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. So often they say, I see no reason to forgive that person. But notice here, and also in that first reading from Sirach, the reason for forgiveness and mercy. It's so that you will be shown mercy and forgiveness. You are seeking pardon when you forgive others. When you turn to God and ask Him to forgive you, you will receive the same mercy that you show to others. Take a moment, please take a moment today and ask yourself the question, have I ever committed a serious sin? Because if you did, you accrued a debt to God that is impossible for you to pay off. Why? Because when we sin against God, who is infinitely good and infinitely loving, we create an infinite gap, an infinite chasm between us and God, and we don't have the power to bridge that gap. There is absolutely nothing that you or I or anyone can do ourselves that is powerful enough to bridge that gap. But God's mercy is infinite. So He can pay off our debts, no matter how high they are, because He is the all-good, all-loving unspeakable, merciful one whose love, infinite love, can literally cover an infinite multitude of sins. When you repent and go to confession, God wipes the slate clean. Your sins are forgiven. God forgives you of a debt that you could never repay. It's done. It's over. But now, there's strings attached. Now the ball is in your court. What do you do about the people who have sinned against you? Well, we must treat them the same way that God treated us when we asked for mercy and forgiveness. So we have the obligation to show mercy and forgiveness to others if we really want to be forgiven. And I know people, I've experienced this any number of times, people will say to me, but it's just too hard. I can't do it. I can't forget what that person has done to me. I can't forgive them. How can Jesus possibly expect me to do what he asks? First, understand is that Jesus is not saying that we are not to have feelings or that we can't experience the pain of being hurt by someone. It's because of our human weakness that it's not in our power to not feel pain or to forget about an offense. Right? But if we take the first baby step, and this is what I say to people who come to me and say, I can't do this. I say, if we take the first baby step, God will give us the grace to do what Jesus tells us we must do. We must, at the very least, ask God to give us the grace to try to forgive the person that we say we can't forgive. When we pray the Confiteor, as we did at the beginning of the Mass, how do we acknowledge our sins? We say, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Notice the first thing on the list are your thoughts, your intentions. It must be our intention to ask God for the grace to try to forgive. And on a practical level, the best way to do that is to pray for the person who hurt us, who hurt you. To have the intention to try, to ask the Lord for the grace to forgive, and responding to that grace to more and more deeply grow into that willingness to forgive. I know it sounds simple, but it's also at the same time difficult. But that willingness to try doesn't mean that it's not the beginnings of genuine forgiveness. It just means it's still not perfect forgiveness. Forgiving someone for a serious offense is usually not a once-and-done thing. It takes time. It can take time. If we had to immediately forgive people perfectly when they sin against us, I think every one of us would be in a very bad place. The bottom line is, when someone hurts you, even if you say you can't bring yourself to forgive them, you could at least try by praying for them. Forgiveness and mercy begin in the heart is what Jesus is telling us here. Praying for someone is the best way to show love for them. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to heal them. Ask God to save them. When we do that for them, God will do that for us and much, much more if we try. And of course, sometimes the most difficult person to forgive is yourself. But we'll save that topic for another time. It's like I said at the outset here, the obligation to forgive could be one of the toughest lessons in the gospel, but we at least must ask for the grace to try and then let God take over and help us to take it from there. Because if you and I refuse to try, as some people claim to do, who are you hurting? Come judgment day, you're jeopardizing your own eternal salvation. You're jeopardizing being thrown into a prison for a length of time that you could never possibly repay. Remember that punchline from today's gospel. The unforgiving servant is thrown into prison, and Jesus says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.